Delaware's Rick Jensen on 1150 AM, 101.7 FM, WDEL.
Hey, over the past couple of weeks, I got a lot of phone calls and text messages from people asking, wait a second, what's up with this truck running around here with an LED sign that reads, all the judges on Chancery Court are white? And I said, well, that's got to be Chris Coffey and the Citizens for Pro-Business Delaware. Because he's the campaign manager. He's on the phone right now. It really is like 5,000 people who, coming through the TransPerfect lawsuits here, realized there's a lot of stuff on court that we don't like. Like, for example, how come they're able to bill thousands and thousands of dollars for creating a bill and an invoice? You're invoicing us for creating an invoice. And they're very, very angry, especially with Chancellor Andre Bouchard, who is retiring. Chris, thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, we're in Andre Bouchard's last 40 days on the bench. We're thinking about having a giant party where TransPerfect workers, former TransPerfect workers, and other folks who have expressed interest in Delaware can have a party to celebrate his stepping off of the bench. Which we
now, is it going to be virtual? Are you going to be socially distanced? Everybody with vaccines?
Vaccinated folks can, you know, carefully, or maybe we do a moment of silence where everyone steps out into wherever they are and thanks whoever it is that they thank for finally getting Judge Bouchard off the court. And we hope it will replace him with someone who has a little bit more, connectedness to actual people and knows what they go through. And hopefully it's a person of color. It would be nice to get a person of color onto this court. But that's what we're fighting for. We have ads up on the air on radio.
Wait. You say a couple of things, Chris. Do you mean party? What are we going down to the riverfront there? We're going to get some dogfish beer and some Casapola subs. What are we talking about here?
Yeah, I got to tell you, Rick, if it weren't for the fact that COVID was a thing, a horrible, horrible pandemic, there is no question that we would have buses and buses and buses of TransPerfect employees from New York, from where they are in Delaware. We'd be asking folks to come together. We would certainly try to get 1,000 people out in front of the Chancery Court or on the waterfront in Wilmington to come together.
But what are you talking about? You can't do that.
We can't do that, but we have 40 days left, and we are going to do something serious to commemorate finally getting Andre Bouchard to step down. By the way, it is 5 years early on his term, right? He had a 10-year term. I think he was appointed in 2015. Mm-hmm. So he has 4 years left on his term. He's stepping down early. We like to take some credit for that. He made people's lives miserable. He raised their health care costs. He, made people think they were losing their jobs. He's cost millions and millions of dollars that has largely come out of employees' pockets. And so we're happy to see him go.
And you're talking about the employees of TransPerfect, which is an international translating company.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, through this time that he, reigned over, saying the company was dysfunctional, the company has grown from, I think, 3,000 people to 6,000 people. Families, are earning paychecks during COVID because of the work of TransPerfect, some of them in Delaware. And he was disdainful and horrific to those folks who felt like they were going to lose their jobs. He raised their health care costs and spent millions of dollars on Skadden, his friends at Skadden, where he used to work. He appointed a custodian from Skadden that made millions and millions of dollars off this case, still today making millions of dollars. I mean, there was a hearing last week over this. They haven't disclosed their fees. They haven't disclosed their bills. Their bills are all secret. There's more secretive stuff in this case that you would just never get away with in any other place. But Bouchard has got away with it because he's in charge. And then if you don't like it, you can go to the Supreme Court where, other Skadden judges for years have been in charge. So, there's a lot of, we're glad to see him go. This is an opportunity for Delaware to have a breath of fresh air, to have someone come in who wants to put cameras in the court like the other 45 states that have cameras in the court. who likes to see just Glamour just
and let me interrupt right there too. You know, it's a perfectly valid point too. This is not like a family court where you might have cameras in there and you don't want to see the kids and things like that because that would be wrong and unfair. No. This is business court. Basically, Chancery Court is this is a business court, and their decisions do affect not just the principals involved, but also the employees as well. You mentioned Skadden Arps a couple of times, and I want people to understand what you're talking about. Skadden Arps, Migger and Flom is a law firm, and Robert Pincus is a guy who was appointed to be the custodian who would oversee running this company, TransPerfect, while the two owners could not agree on how much to buy out. However, it's not like the owners wanted them to take over. Now, go through that piece of it, whether or not the owners wanted Chancery Court to take over it or not, and including in that the fees that you know were charged. Because as I recall from you, I believe it was something like $1,800 an hour for some of the legal work.
Yeah, it was more than a professional baseball player or football player would charge for an hour during their game. I mean, it was something like $1,750 an hour at the highest mark, and the average was something like $1,500 an hour. We never knew what those things were charged. Years after this case has been over, they're still charging for things that. And by the way, they don't itemize their bills, so you get a piece of paper every month, and the piece of paper says, you know, $77,000 for last month and $160,000 for the month before, but you don't know exactly what they're for, and they won't disclose it, and they say that it's secret and confidential. And so, the Skadden thing here is it's, Bouchard worked at Skadden, importantly. He then, has his own firm and then becomes a chancery judge. He appoints his former close colleague, who he sat next to and worked next to, Judge Robert Pincus, to be the custodian. Sorry, I said judge. He wasn't a judge. He was just a Skadden partner. And he, I think there should be a rule that says you can't appoint your former law partner, right? Like, you can't appoint someone that would benefit who you used to have a financial arrangement with. And so then gave him tremendous amount of sway. Pincus then brings in all sorts of people, accountants, PR firms, other people, and has the ability to sign off on them all getting paid millions and millions and millions of dollars, with the company TransPerfect not having any say in any of those things. They spent over $80 million on accountants and PR firms and other lawyers and other sorts of things, all approved by a Skadden lawyer. And when you appeal that, so then the TransPerfect people would say, no, we can't do that. We want to appeal. Judge Bouchard, himself a former Skadden lawyer, would say no. And then if we appeal that to the Delaware Supreme Court, overseen for years by Leo Strine, himself a former Skadden lawyer. So you have a Skadden lawyer at the top, a Skadden lawyer in the middle, and a Skadden lawyer making this. Our point is, like, there are lots and lots of law firms out there. We never thought this case should have a custodian, but having a custodian who's impartial and does not have a former financial arrangement with the judge and with the judge's boss seems to be a fairly low bar. Skadden has a golden parachute on this case. Robert Pincus retired during this case and has made millions of dollars from this case. We think that is totally unacceptable. And this stuff, here's my point, Rick. This stuff happens all the time, and it is shady as hell. The only difference here is that we are fighting back and putting it in these people's faces and putting a spotlight on it. We hope that we got Pincus to retire a little bit earlier. We hope that we got Bouchard to retire 5 years earlier. Like, we are making folks' life difficult because they have gotten away with this kind of shenanigans for years, and it's not okay.
So how would you actually get the courts to be more open?
So, you and I have talked about this before. In any normal place, you would go, no offense, you would go to the legislature and you would say, there are no cameras in the courts. There are no disclosure laws. We have a 9-point platform that most states have adopted, the federal government has adopted, that Delaware has not adopted for their chancery court. The problem with Delaware is when you go meet with legislators, they turn around and say, well, has the Corporate Bar Committee approved this? And you say, well, who's the Corporate Bar Committee? The Corporate Bar Committee is a group of corporate lawyers, unnamed corporate lawyers, who make recommendations to the legislature. The legislature won't do anything involving the Chancery Court or any of their courts without the Corporate Bar Association or the Bar Association approving it. Well, the Corporate Bar Association doesn't want cameras in the court. They're the ones making the money. It's just Skadden and the other firms, right? Like, it would be like saying, okay, we have a government transparency bill. Have you checked with the lobbyists first? Do the lobbyists want this? Because if the lobbyists
Isn't that the truth? Yeah, like, I know. Yeah.
It's like, guys, of course the lobbyists don't want the disclosure. They're making millions off of the way it is now. You know, the only difference is because it's the Corporate Bar Association, they act as if it's like higher than mighty. And it's like, guys, you're bilking people for millions. And who are the millions coming from? Well, in some cases, it's CEOs, but often that just gets passed down to their employees who have a lower bonus or raised health care prices. Certainly, Skadden raised the health care costs of our employees through this process in order to pay some of these fees. We ended up having to pay it back from the CEO and stuff. But in most companies, they wouldn't do that. And if you had shareholders, you definitely wouldn't do that. So, you know, we're just causing a stink because that's the only way that anyone is going to pay attention to this stuff. So we would like to go to the legislature. We have before. I've certainly spent a lot of time talking to legislators. We had a bill that got introduced last year around disclosing bills and disclosing fees. But, you know, it was a Republican bill, and you know how that goes, right?
Like, yes, it's Delaware. It was one of these good government transparency Republican bills, and we can't have any of that.
Yep.
So, and I think most people who deal with the state legislature know that if you really want to get a bill through, you need to have the Democratic Party leadership in the House and the Senate signed on as co-sponsors. You got to. That gives you a much better chance of actually getting the darn thing through. So,
The problem is they're going to say, well, the Corporate Bar Committee is not there, and therefore I can't be there either. So I think what we're going to do, and I mentioned this last time, we've been really focused on who the governor appoints to replace Andre Bouchard, and we're really, really hoping that he replaces at least names a person of color to the bench, whether it's as a replacement or whether he moves someone else up to Andre's role. And, you know, I would hope that he could name a replacement to the top seat. But either way, once that is finished over the next few weeks, I think we are going to really make an effort to get legislation introduced and passed. And that'll mean spending lots of money because that's the only way that it gets a spotlight. If we put air ads on TV and radio and all over the place for the next 6 months, you know, people will start to ask, why are these guys doing this?
I get a lot of response to WDE, like, who are these people? What is it they want? What are they doing? And I go through a brief synopsis of there's like, you know, just like five law firms or so from whom all these judges are picked. And the process is closed. No one can see who they are or anything. And it's pretty stunning considering in some states, justices are elected. Well, that's amazing. Now, what are the five? Is it five firms, six? How many firms is it from which judges are chosen to be on the courts?
Yeah, there's usually five. It's usually five firms. Skadden is the biggest in Delaware, but
yeah.
And the most. If you did a Venn diagram and looked at all of the connections to Skadden on the courts in the Supreme Court, it's a pretty who gets appointed these things. Skadden is all over it. There are a couple of others. Also, the diversity. It's all like a reoccurring thing. There's no diversity Skadden. There's no, you know, in the Wilmington office for a while, there was like one associate of color out of, you know, however many, and there's no partners of color. And so then it's like, well, but we can't put someone of color on the Chancery Court because it's only these law firms that we're picking them from. And then you're like, well, that's because the law firms don't have people of color. You know, like Delaware is full of people of color who are qualified in these roles. If we took this more seriously and figured out how to get them into some of these positions, you'd be able to pick from more folks. But I don't know that that's the goal for some of these firms.
You know, I've noticed something that occurred recently, and that is our current state attorney general has issued a political legislative agenda. Now, you look at Delaware State Code, and make a note of this because I think you might find it interesting. If you look at Delaware State Code, it actually articulates that the attorney general can and should offer ideas, perhaps even help write legislation pertaining to law and our legal system. Now, what she has done is actually put out some things that have nothing to do with the law or the legal system. However, it seems to me that since we do have another election coming up, I think in 24, for Attorney General, and my guess is that she's doing this because she wants to run for governor. Just my guess. Why else would you have a political legislative agenda. Perhaps that's the road that you guys might want to travel. In other words, you have thousands of people in this organization. They really want to see more transparency and openness. And I do. I think it would be wonderful to have more transparency and more openness and more understanding. It'll be challenging and difficult for these attorneys and lawyers, perhaps. But I think they're very smart men and women, and they could figure out you know, how to lead their professional lives in such a way as to not fear such transparency.
Yeah, by the way, people adapt. You know, the rest of the country has adapted, right? All these other states 50 years ago wouldn't have been able, you know, you wouldn't have allowed audio in the court. Even the Supreme Court wouldn't have had audio in it. And now they all do, because you have to. Like, it is 2021, the idea that you can have secret motions and secret hearings and not allow anyone in and not, you know, it's just like, it doesn't work that way anymore.
So perhaps perhaps it might be worth your while to, like, take a look at, you know, who might be a good candidate. And it might be a Republican, because I know that they seem to be much more open to the transparency and openness than the Democrats here in this state. It might be a Republican that you guys say, you know what, this is somebody we should promote for, say, be state attorney general. And the attorney general.
Yeah, we're not going to go away. Like, we're going to keep, even after Bouchard leaves, and people have said, well, the case is going to end at some point soon. Hopefully, God knows, after years and billions have spent, the case will end at some point. I know they're probably sick and tired of us, even though they're making millions. But we're going to stay here, and we're going to keep fighting for this stuff, because we don't want to see the next TransPerfect, like the next company, get caught in the web of kind of secrecy and you know.
Are you studying cases? Are you looking at cases that are currently going through the courts?
We look at cases. We contact people. We ask them to help. There have been a few other cases where we've offered some kind of back office help, or we tried to publicize their case. And at times it's worked, and at times they get anxious about it because they don't want to, you know. By the way, when we have legal issues, we can't even find a lawyer in Delaware to represent us, because they know that if they're representing us and then they're in front of the Chancery Court, that they're going to get a raw deal. I mean, even that is crazy, obviously, right?
Like, so are you saying, Chris Coffey, are you saying then out loud that there are attorneys, you can't find attorneys to represent you and your group?
Let me finish the question.
Yep. Is it because those attorneys might feel retribution if they represented you?
Yeah. 100%. And I've had people tell me that countless times. If you and I did a phone call and said, let's pick 20 Delaware firms and gave them a backstory on who citizens are and asked them to work with us, 20 out of 20 would say, can't do that. I know, because I've done the calls myself. And the reason, not because we're not great payers, we have money and we're happy to spend it. It's because they know that if they represent us, they can't go into the Chancery Court. I had a lawyer last year represent us for years, 2 years ago, and he finally said, I can't do this because I won't have any cases in the Chancery Court anymore. And he proactively let us go. And by the way, I had a lobbyist represent us in Delaware, you know, at the Capitol in Dover, and he let us go. Also, he said, you know, I can't. You're going after the Delaware way, and you know, I can't have that. These legislators. I mean, it's more crazy on the legal side to think that judges are gonna punish lawyers for representing people who want transparency. But that is absolutely what I bet you could not find me a lawyer who has argued a case in the Chancery Court.
All right. Appreciate your time, Chris Coffey. You can go to Delaware4, that's FORbusiness.org, right? Delaware4business.org?
Yep.
And learn more about that.
Thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate you, and I look forward to the next time that we have you on and talk about, you know, what you guys have done. As for the sign on the truck, that just seems to get people angry, like, oh, they're all a bunch of racists and everything. I mean, maybe a sign that says open the
people,
courts.
It gets people's attention, you know?
Yeah,
it
gets their attention.
It's the only court in the country that doesn't have a black person on it.
I don't know if that's necessarily gets their attention in a good way, but how about just open the courts, DelawareForBusiness.org?
Maybe that'll be our next one.
Sure, thanks.
Thank you.
All right, Chris Coffey. All right, Chris, take care. Delaware4, FORbusiness.org. Take a break. Back after this.
There's more Rick Jensen coming up on 1150 AM, 101.7 FM, WDEL.